Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference using OmegaMon XE and DE automation to manage databases. The teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This session will discuss the capabilities of IBM OmegaMon XE for IMS and IBM OmegaMon XE for DB2 on ZOS, automating management of performance and availability, as well as integration using OmegaMon DE. The teleconference will also address the integration of IBM Tivoli OmegaMon with other Tivoli systems management technologies, including the latest new release version 6.1 of IBM Tivoli Monitoring. The teleconference will be hosted by Ed Woods, consulting IT specialist, IBM Tivoli Performance Automation Team. At this time, I'll turn things over to Mr. Ed Woods. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, this is Ed Woods with IBM Corporation, consulting IT specialist. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to meet with us today. The topic of discussion today is using OmegaMon XE automation to manage databases. This is a topic that I think you'll find to be very interesting, enlightening, and I've had a lot of fun putting this particular presentation together. The next slide from the title slide is a copyright slide. And then following the copyright slide, we have an agenda slide, which talks about an overview of OmegaMon XE. This is really what we're going to go into, an overview of OmegaMon. We're going to review the monitoring architecture. Then we'll talk about database performance and availability management in general. And then we'll talk specific to what are the capabilities of OmegaMon. And OmegaMon provides very powerful automation capabilities that are bundled directly into the monitoring suite. And these are built upon two key components. One's called a situation and the other is called a policy. So we'll talk quite a bit about situations and policies, and you'll see quite a few examples. We'll show some real examples of database automation, and then we'll talk about the integration of this capability with a component called the Dashboard Edition, or OmegaMon DE, which gives you the ability to tie all this stuff together. And then we'll talk some more about some capabilities of using policies and more advanced automation capabilities within OmegaMon. So going to the next slide, what is OmegaMon XE? OmegaMon XE is real-time as well as historical performance and availability management. Basically, what OmegaMon XE provides is the ability to see what's happening within our subsystems, what's happening within our operating systems, and tie that performance and availability information together so that we can then find problems, isolate problems, and then also, more importantly, not just do monitoring, but also tie in automation capabilities to correct things at machine speed, to drive notification and alerting. When we're talking OmegaMon XE, we have a choice of interfaces. We have the OmegaMon XE GUI. We have the OmegaMon 3270 interface, both the CUA and the classic when we're talking on the mainframe. Also on the mainframe, you have ISPF capabilities, and this is also going to be for historical as well as real-time performance management. Going to the next slide, this is where we talk about OmegaMon XE for DB2 UDB on ZOS. What are the components and capabilities? Well, we have real-time monitoring for our threads, for our subsystems. So this is where we can see our thread detail, our elapsed times, our NDB2 times, monitor not just standard threads, but also things like triggers, procedures, user-defined functions. OmegaMon XE for DB2 also monitors the DB2 subsystem, the various pools, the EDM pool, the virtual pool, locking, logging, all of these things. OmegaMon for DB2 also provides application trace facility for detailed application analysis, object analysis, IO and get page detail analysis, lock conflict analysis. There's also several historical capabilities, what's called near term. Near term meaning show me the last few hours, as well as longer term historical batch reporting capabilities. Plex level monitoring capabilities showing show me the coupling facility structures, group buffer pools, lock structures, list structures, etc. I mentioned the choice of interfaces, and then also, more to our topic today, the automation capabilities that are bundled within the tool. We'll go into this quite a bit. The next slide, OmegaMon DB2, options and interfaces. So the OmegaMon XE GUI is what we see on the top portion of the slide. This is a Java client or through a web browser. This is the Tivoli portal, or what we also call the Tivoli Enterprise portal, or the TEP. You can see real-time as well as historical. We have automation as well as alerting capabilities bundled within this GUI interface. This is where we define and set up and specify these mechanisms called situations and policies that I'll talk about quite a bit. The GUI is also where we see things like our Plex level information, our coupling facility, or if we're talking IMS, our N-way data sharing information. Also within OmegaMon, you have what's called the classic interface as well as the CUA interface. These are both 3270 capabilities that come with the tool, and so all this is bundled together on the same install tape, and it also provides you real-time as well as historical, command-driven as well as menu-driven capabilities. The primary focus of the automation discussion we're going to have today, though, will be primarily centered around the XE GUI interface, and that's where we'll spend the majority of our time. The next slide shows a bigger example of the XE GUI. So here what we're looking at is the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the TEP, which provides our GUI interface. And so what we're looking at is a data sharing view here, looking at our group buffer pools. And so we see, for example, pie charts showing our group buffer pool structures and breakouts by the utilization percentages within each of the group buffer pools. And then underneath, you see detailed statistics tabular views of what's contained within each piece of various components of the group buffer pools. Going to the next slide, this is an example of the classic view, 3270, major and minor commands. This is the traditional OmegaMon interface as has existed for quite a few years within the OmegaMon DB2 monitoring suite. What's nice about the ability to use the OmegaMon XE suite is you have the ability to integrate. So the next slide shows how you can integrate and combine 3270 within the portal, within the GUI, if you will. So you can have a 3270 that ties directly in. That 3270 view can be integrated within the graphic GUI, and then you have the ability to use whatever the appropriate interface is depending upon what your requirements are. The two tools integrate and tie together quite nicely. Another piece that we'll talk about, I mentioned on the next slide, which is OmegaMon XE for IMS on ZOS. OmegaMon XE for IMS does real-time monitoring, response time analysis, does bottleneck analysis, as well as provides operator assist and console facility capabilities. It has trace facilities, and as well provides exception alerts, automation, build upon situations and policies, and it too provides a choice of interfaces, the 3270 functions that I've shown you, as well as the XE interface with the automation capabilities that come with the XE interface. The next slide shows OmegaMon XE for Z, and shows an example of one of the graphic views. And so again, same look and feel, same methodology, same logic, same flow as what we've seen before. You click on the various lines to go from screen to screen, and contained within the same GUI, you have the ability to define situations and policies which drive the alert and automation capabilities that we'll talk about. Going to the next slide, this shows the infrastructure view, if you will, of how these components tie together. So what we're looking at is on the left-hand portion of the slide is a ZOS box, and contained within there we have several address spaces. So we have an IMSA subsystem up in the top part, and then we have in the bottom part a DB2 subsystem, DB2A and a DB2B. The DB2s are monitored by a single OmegaMon DB2 collector. There's also a CUA address space, so the user may log on either to the CUA or to the collector to get 3270. The OmegaMon XE agent address space, its job is to broker the information from the ZOS environment to a component called the TEMS, or the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server. TEMS is a black box over in the right-hand portion of the screen. And the TEMS, its job is basically to consolidate, aggregate, and coordinate the performance information gathered by the various OmegaMon monitors. The TEMS may run on Z, Unix, Windows, and its job is to basically integrate and tie the monitoring capabilities together. So what you see on the top part of the slide is you have a similar concept and layout, if you will, for IMS. The top part, you have the IMS collector, the IMS CUA address space, and the OmegaMon XE agent as well for IMS. The difference is OmegaMon IMS collector will monitor just one IMS, whereas the DB2 can monitor multiples in this particular diagram here. You still have your 3270 as well as your XE capability. Now, the XE piece can monitor multiple IMSs, but when we're talking the classic collector, we have a one-to-one ratio. The OmegaMon XE for IMS piece also brokers its information to this same Tivoli Management Server, and then it's the job of the Tivoli Management Server then to provide that information to the other black box, which says Portal Server. Currently, right now, most people that run the portal server run it on Windows. Although one thing that I do note is that ITM adds support for Linux, and this Linux support is also going to be Linux on Intel as well as Linux on Z. So the job of the portal server to build the GUI interface that's presented to the users. So what happens then is the user logs in, typically using the browser, connects to the portal server. Portal server presents the screens, and it's going through the GUI that's built within the browser, wherein you define the situations and the policies, et cetera, that make up the automation routines that we're going to talk about on these slides. So our next slide shows a more integrated database monitoring view, because now what we're bringing in is also monitoring from distributed platforms, Windows, Unix, the ability to monitor database as well as operating system and other platforms. This is what the ITM6 capability provides, because it also can then in turn plug into this Tivoli management servers and then has the same automation, situation alerting, policy automation capabilities as what we're going to look at on the mainframe as well. So what this provides then is a powerful cross-platform, multi-platform integrated systems management capability. Going to the next slide, we see a slide that says Megamon Automation Alert Capabilities. The automation alert capabilities are premised on two mechanisms primarily. The first one is what's called a situation. That's the essential building block, the basis of all Megamon XE alerts. Any monitored attribute may be used in the situation. A monitored attribute, just think of it as that's a column of information or a bit of information that's gathered by a Megamon monitor. So any attribute of information that's gathered by a Megamon can be used in a situation. And more importantly, any combination thereof as well. So you can gather multiple attributes of data and then correlate, analyze, filter, and look at these attributes to drive your situation logic. The situation, if it's true, has the ability to issue what's called a reflex automation or a command. So that, in other words, if the situation is true, we'll issue a command. Situations typically run in the agent address space. So typically the situation is going to run in an address space that's local to where we're doing our monitoring. A policy, on the other hand, is something that runs on a higher level. It combines potentially multiple events, multiple situations, etc., and gives you the ability to issue multiple commands, issue a command, check to see if that command worked, and then in turn do other commands based upon that logic. It's an excellent mechanism to do correlation of alerts and to do more sophisticated automation capabilities. One difference with a policy is a policy runs in the management server, whereas the situations typically run within the agent tasks. Going to the next slide. So here we're looking at situations, and situation is basically some type of an alert that you're monitoring for using the Megamon monitor. Now, in the top portion of the screen, you see a line that says open, highlighted in red, then it says MQ channel stop, and then basically that's just an example of an alert that's been driven by a given situation. Each of the various Megamon agents has product-provided situations that come with it. So here, actually, we're looking at some alerts that come from database monitoring, and so we see things like buffer pool hit ratio low, lock, conflict warning alerts, et cetera, et cetera. You can use the product-provided situations, or you can customize and build your own, depending upon what your requirements are. Going to the next slide, this mentions using situations to build alerts. You can specify your situation alert criteria. So here we're looking at a single attribute in this case. DB2 elapsed time exceeds a certain value, we will generate an alert. You can define the alert or the situation based on a user-definable name. I recommend make the alert names meaningful. The premise is then basically you want an alert that has some type of a consistent naming convention, that has a meaningful name so that if somebody sees the alert, they don't have to be a deep dive expert in order to be able to do the analysis on the alert. It becomes obvious very quickly what the problem is. Down at the bottom, you can specify a sampling interval. The default typically is 15 minutes. You can take it down to 30 seconds. General rule of thumb is you typically want to have comparable alerts gathered on a comparable interval. This helps from a performance standpoint just in terms of making the monitoring and alerting more efficient. In the lower portion of the box, you see run at startup. This basically controls whether the alert starts up and begins checking and executing when the Megamon agent comes up. And then also you see above that state. This basically says, is this a critical alert, a warning alert, or an informational alert? Going to the next slide, which says making alerts meaningful. This is an important point because my recommendation is you want alerts to be meaningful and targeted towards the requirements. In other words, give the alert a meaningful name so that you don't have to be a deep dive expert to understand what the alert is, at least at some level, but you also want to have alerts that actually do represent a true problem. The Megamon XE Situation Editor gives the ability to combine multiple pieces of information to make the alert more targeted. So in this example, we see we can look at multiple attributes, DB2 elapsed time, package name, and auth ID, to make different combinations of logic to then in turn drive whether this alert fires or not. Each single line, line 1, for example, represents AND logic. So in other words, we have a certain elapsed time and package name. Line 2 is more AND logic, and then line 3 is AND logic as well. So in other words, in line 3 we say, if our elapsed time is 1 minute 20, and we have a package name of disserve, and we have an auth ID of CIO, if all three of those is true, we have an alert. Having multiple lines basically then in turn constitutes OR logic. One suggestion I have is, as much as possible, if you can make the alert, the situation, a little more robust, if you will, that means then you can typically do the same amount of work with fewer situations, and you'll probably have a more efficient way to go in terms of ongoing monitoring and management. The next slide then shows the distribution of the alert. So you have to specify where the situation runs. Where is it going to do the check? You can assign specific DB2 subsystems. So here, for example, we've selected that this alert's going to run on DSNA and DSNB, but we're not going to worry about DSNC and DSND, for example. Or you can define what are called managed system lists. Managed system lists are things that are user-definable, so that what you do then is you have the ability to specify lists of production regions, test regions, dev regions, whatever it is, have a predefined list. All you have to do is click and drag that list, and then the situation will deploy to wherever you have defined within that list. This is a much more efficient way to go, especially when we're talking large systems environments, data sharing with lots and lots of subsystems. It's a much easier way to click and go. The beauty of this approach, either way, is from a central point, you can define and deploy your alerts and your automation from a central point of control without having to reach out and touch each of all the individual subsystems, ALPARs, etc. Going to our next slide, use expert advice for alerts. This is always an ongoing recommendation I think is important. As a standard, you want to take advantage of things like expert advice. What this is that if an alert or situation fires, you'll see a red icon on the Omegamon XE display, and you can click on that alert and get details specific to what is happening with the alert. The expert advice also then in turn will give the user information in terms of what to do. So not only is it good form, in other words, to have some type of an automated action, but also it's good form just so that if users see the alert, they know what's going on, they know what to do, or it tells them, well, maybe Omegamon is handling the problem in question. The next slide shows an example of the integrated automation, the whole premise of solving problems at machine speed. If the situation is true, you can optionally specify a command be executed as part of the situation being true. So here we see in the line that says system command, you can put in really any kind of a console command, any type of a DB2 command, IMS command, MVS ZOS command. You can also click on the button that says attribute substitution and put other attributes of information into the command line, and it will automatically punch those variables in. So that could be user IDs, plan names, whatever you need to punch in there. And then you can specify how often you want to take this action. Where does the action take place? At the agent or at the management server? And whether or not to do the action multiple times. So this is a good example of what I call the fire and forget. In other words, the simple reflex automation that's built into a situation. If we detect the problem using the situation, we can automatically issue the command straight to the ZOS console in this example. Same kind of mechanism as well if we're talking distributed. The only difference is if, say, for Windows, we'd be issuing commands to a C prompt. The next slide shows a policy. A policy is different from a situation, in that a policy allows the user to specify a flow of commands, to issue multiple commands, and then also to check to see if the prior commands work, and also to check for multiple possible alerts or scenarios. A policy is a more advanced workflow automation capability that's integrated directly within the Omegamon GUI, or the dashboard, if you will. In this particular example, what we're doing is we have an alert that says we're looking to see if we have a problem with the IMS logging, so EW IMS log archive. If that alert is true, if the situation is true, we'll issue a command. Then we're going to check to see if that action worked, and then if that action worked, we'll issue another sequence of commands. So you actually see a flow of three commands based upon that one alert being detected, and each step along the way, we're checking to see if the prior action worked. This kind of workflow is what's part and parcel of a policy. So if you need to be able to do multiple commands in sequence and things like that, that's where policy comes into play as opposed to a situation. Going to the next slide, let's talk a little bit about just database automation in general. Database automation, I typically put into some major categories. On the top part, we have just our basic performance. Performance of the DBMS, performance of things like our buffers, IO performance, IO bottlenecks, lock conflict analysis, things like that, our typical kind of ongoing performance monitoring and alerts, and also the ability to do automated corrections if we detect performance bottlenecks. That's one aspect of automation, and that's something that integrates very nicely with monitoring. Down below, we also have availability. Availability more reflects the ongoing monitoring of our resources. What's the availability of the database? What's the availability of the subsystem? What's the availability of individual databases or threads or components within the given subsystems? The ability to stop and start resources if something is stopped, restarting it, and things like that. Starting things based upon time of day or other criteria. The availability. DB2 may be up, but a given database may be stopped. So the ability to make sure that this is happening in a timely manner. Over on the right-hand side, we have management. And this usually, from a database perspective, falls into the ongoing administration. Things like utility processing, utilities running at optimal times. Logging. Logging is something that has to run on an ongoing basis. If logging doesn't happen in a DBMS, then we no longer have the integrity of the database, and at some point the database itself will simply just stop executing. So going to the next slide, let's talk about some examples, availability automation examples. We can track the status of a database subsystem. We can track the status of resources, stop-start resources, and we can get this information from a Megamon, do heartbeat checks using a Megamon, look at console messages, subsystem errors, event logs. All these things are sources of information that can feed this automation process. So looking at the next slide that says monitoring database availability, monitor the subsystem online-offline status. So here's our view, our architecture view that we looked at before. One thing that we can do is we can take advantage of the ongoing heartbeat check that happens within the monitoring infrastructure. The premises then basically is each Omegamon monitor goes out and checks to see if the subsystems that it's monitoring are in an online or offline status. In other words, is DB2 up or down? Is IMS up or down? Whatever is being monitored, there's an ongoing heartbeat. If that heartbeat goes away, one of two things have happened. Either A, the DB2 or IMS in question has been shut down, or B, the Omegamon's been shut down. If I go to the next slide, this shows how I can create a situation that actually checks for this heartbeat. So here again, we're looking at a situation we've created. I always recommend giving the situation a meaningful name. So in this case, I just said demo DB status. We're checking in the status column for a status of offline. When we build the situation, we can specify how frequently we check for it. So if you look in the sampling interval, we're checking for this once every minute. And then basically then all we're doing is by checking for the offline status, we'll know then, we'll be able to actually generate an alert if this particular database subsystem goes to an offline status. The next slide shows where this particular alert runs. Now, since we're actually pulling an alert for a heartbeat, this is actually a situation that runs not within the agent, but actually within the management server. So this is a little different than other scenarios that I've shown you before, but the premise is basically the same. We're using a situation to drive an alert, in this case to drive an availability alert, but we're just actually picking up that alert that's being monitored from within the management server, the hub, if you will, as opposed to the underlying agents. The next slide shows examples of what you'll see. So here we're looking at the base enterprise console view. And so we see we have a lot of these alerts that have fired. So we have console alerts, server offline alerts, et cetera, et cetera. Notice here we have several managed systems that have gone to an offline status. These have been highlighted in red. That's what the red open thing means. And then you have the situation named to the right of that, and then the source, et cetera, from there. If you want to issue a command when the situation is true, again, similar example to what we've shown before, you can just select the action tab, put in the command. If the situation is going to be relative to a managed system that's running from MVS or the managed server is running on MVS, this would be a console command. Or if we're actually talking something that's actually running in the underlying Unix box, for example, or Windows, then you could actually have the command execute there. The next slide shows a slightly different availability example. So here we're showing availability example monitoring the status of an IMS database. Maybe I want to track the status of key databases for a given application or given subsystem, and I want to be sure that they're in an active or available status. So here what we're actually looking at is a situation that's doing some Boolean logic, and so we're checking for a status of anything not equal to available. So if you look in the middle here, we see the V and then any, meaning not equal, and then we've highlighted available. And then to the right of that, we're looking for anything, any database name that starts with IVP. So in this particular example, we're basically saying, give me an alert for any of the IVP databases that do not have a status of available. So if anything else happens, we'll generate an alert. So if it goes to a not found, stop, locked, whatever it is, this situation will fire and we'll detect problem, and then you could optionally issue a command off of that. Same premise as before. So looking at the next slide, we want to assign the availability check to various subsystems. So again, we can specify where the check is performed, what IMSs, you know, where does this run? You click and drag. So here we say we're going to check IMS A, but we haven't selected IMS B. So we see we're going to do this particular check on IMS A. You could also take advantage, again, of the managed system list mechanisms that I've mentioned before and create managed system lists for multiple IMS systems. In this case, we're just doing individual subsystems to do our particular check. And if the IMS database alert fires, we'll see it on the next slide. So here we see IMS DB availability alert. Here we see that the alert is highlighted. We see it highlighted in red. We see the open event in red. EW IMS DB status. You see to the right of that the source. In other words, what IMS system it's been detected. And then we see the EW IMS status indicator underneath there under the flyover area where it's highlighted critical. And you could click on the blue link symbol in the flyover to actually get additional detail. So we've detected actually a database that's not in the available status in this particular example. The next slide shows what's called the situation detail view. This is where I actually did click in that flyover. And then you see in the status values here, we see a status of DMB not found for one of the IVP databases. This is highlighting it. You see the database name, and then you see the initial as well as the current status for the databases that have kicked out alerts. The expert advice I mentioned is customizable. There's also action commands you can integrate within the alert so that you can have manual overrides if there's commands you want to issue from this particular view. Continuing on down this path, in addition to alerts and status and availability information, just looking at things from an availability perspective that I want to get from my MegaMod monitors, tracking the status of if the DB2s or IMSs or whatever are up and available, but also looking at database status, I may also want to track things from an availability monitoring perspective that may come from console messages. So we can look at mainframe console message options, console automation. There's also a component called Universal Agent that allows us to take advantage of socket interfaces and use and leverage Rex code to get alerts into the management server from Universal Agent. Also, from a distributed monitoring perspective, we can monitor things like the Windows event logs, Unix application log files, and then also the Universal Agent, again, provides several data providers that can reach out and touch distributed systems if we don't have an out-of-the-box solution. Looking at the next slide, looking at console interfaces, in order to get a complete automation perspective, it's always good to be able to have some kind of a facility to track for certain key automation messages that use console automation, then be able to broker that console alert information up to the Tivoli management server so I can then in turn do situation logic and alerts and automation based off of that. The next slide expands this concept further, but in a little different way. I may have an automation engine, and I could do some Rex code to then in turn open a socket interface, and that socket interface will then in turn forward the message in question to a component called Universal Agent. Universal Agent is an OmegaMon component that runs typically on Unix or Windows, and you can co-locate that with the management server if your management server is also running on, say, Unix or Windows. What this will provide then is an interface from the console, fire up a Rex exec, forward the message up to the Universal Agent, and then in turn into the management server so that may be viewable in the portal. What you'll get then is a capability like what we're seeing on the next slide, which is we can then in turn build a situation to check for messages. So this could be anything that shows up in the console log. You have the ability to build sample alerts and things like that, looking for key DB2 messages or IMS messages, track for potential availability problem messages. And if you're not sure what messages you would like to perhaps highlight using this, one good presentation is one that was done at the DB2 Tech Conference by John Campbell, an IBM colleague of mine, about how to help check your DB2 system. And this has lists of important DB2 messages that you can trap and highlight. Next slide shows an example of the Universal Agent interface I mentioned. So here we see the message being pulled from the console. So here we're just taking the demonstration message. That message is then in turn being forwarded to the portal. And so you're seeing within the portal the message text, etc. And then you can build situations and drive situation logic off of this message text. So going to the next slide then, so that's availability that we just went through there. Now let's talk a little bit about performance alerts and performance automation. So again, automation takes several variants. We've talked about availability. Now we're going to go into performance. Performance, this is where we want to talk about things like being able to become more proactive with performance problems, do automated corrections when we have performance bottlenecks, and perhaps do those corrections at machine speed, and then have that automation integrated directly within our monitoring technology. So the next slide, performance automation. This could be things like monitoring problem applications on an ongoing basis, monitoring for things like runaway threads, automating the termination of problem runaway threads. These are just some simple examples. These could be looking for other bottlenecks within, say, a DB2 or an IMS system and optionally issuing commands to do tweaks to keep the DB2 or the IMS running. The situations provide basically an intelligent logic so that you can have integrated automation tied in with your monitoring. Our next slide shows an example. Here we're going to talk about a runaway thread scenario. So you may have scenarios wherein you have problem runaway threads. They run and run and run, and rather than having to manually look for these runaway threads on an ongoing basis, wouldn't it be nice to have an automated scenario wherein you can check for these things based upon some type of Boolean logic? And again, you can take advantage of the Boolean logic check capabilities of the situation to make the logic as sophisticated as you need. So you can click on the Add Attribute button to add additional items or attributes of information, make the logic as detailed as you need, and then deploy and start the situation. So here, we're simply looking for a given plan name and for anything that's a get page count over 1,000. We're going to check based on the sampling interval every minute for this, and we've clicked on the Run at Startup box down in the bottom corner. So in other words, as soon as I start up the Omegamon agent, this situation will deploy and start checking. The next slide shows the automated correction screen. So here what's happening is we've clicked on attribute substitution, and one of the automatic attributes that we get is the cancel command properly formatted. So you see it says ampersand db2 thread exceptions.cancel command. What that means then is since it's an ampersand, that means it's a substitution variable. We'll automatically put in the appropriate cancel command. So all you have to do then is put in the appropriate check, start the situation with the cancel command. It'll automatically put in the correct token information, et cetera, to kill the appropriate thread if the situation is detected to be true. So going to the next slide where we're actually monitoring the thread. So here I've made a very simple little screen where I'm going to monitor my thread. I'm looking at the elapsed time, the auth ID, and then I see the get page count. Get page count is over 10,000. So now I know as soon as it hits that number, any second, this thing is going to be detected by the situation as a runaway, and the situation will fire, and we'll go ahead and kill the thread. If we look at the next slide, this is where we'll see on the console the actual cancellation of the thread. This is being handled automatically by the DB2 agent. There's no manual intervention on my part. This all happened technomagically under the covers with the monitoring capability of the tool. So continuing on with the performance aspect of things here. Performance automation using situations versus policies. As I alluded to earlier, a situation is very useful when we're talking about simple fire and forget kind of scenarios where I want to detect the problem and then issue a command. A policy is more appropriate when I want to be able to do things like issue a series of commands or do a correlation of multiple alerts so that I'm doing something that's a little more targeted. So a policy allows for more sophisticated automation, lets me do multiple commands and checks. And ultimately, though, there are situations are what tie into the policies. So situations typically run in the agent. Policies run in the management server. That's something we've discussed a couple of times. So on the next slide, I want to use policies for more sophisticated performance automation scenarios and for my more detailed automated corrections. Still gives me the same capability, though, being able to implement corrections at machine speed. Now, a lot of times where this is useful is maybe I have some type of a bottleneck scenario that I want to detect, and I want to be able to do a tweak on the fly. It may not be a permanent fix, but maybe I want to do a tweak on the fly, maybe make a quick change to the DSNZ PARM or something like that, make a tweak to a buffer pool setting, get me through the bottleneck, keep my workload running, but ultimately also alert me so that I can then go back and see what's going on and why. So the premise is not necessarily to make it so that everything is totally automated, but automated to the point to where I avoid the outage. I have good performance. I avoid critical bottlenecks, but also alerts me so that I then have the ability to go back and do the analysis and do the ultimate corrective fix. This can be useful, if you go to the next slide, because many applications are now composite applications. What that means then, like in this example here, is you'll have applications that talk to DB2, Kix, Z, IMS, MQ, etc. And so being able to have a management and alerting and automation system that I can use across multiple platforms, components, etc. becomes very important. And that's certainly the case here in the examples I've shown because we've looked at both IMS as well as DB2 examples. And the same methodologies that you can use on a ZOS box for DB2 on Z can also be applied to DB2 or other databases running on Unix or Windows. Going to the next slide, Policies support the ability to do correlated alerts and commands. That's where this composite aspect comes into play. In this particular example, I'm actually correlating three different alerts or three different situations that have been coded. So here what I'm saying is I'm looking to see if I have an end user response time problem. I'm then checking kicks to see if I have an alert coming from CICS. And then if both of those are true, I'll then in turn check to see if I'm detecting a lock conflict using a Megamon DB2. If all of these are true, I'll then in turn issue a console command. So this premise of workflow then gives me the ability to do a correlated check of multiple different situations, and then using a building block methodology, start with some very basic alerts, and then aggregate it and tie it together into a larger alert combined with some type of an automated corrective action. The next slide shows another example. So in this case, you can use policies for dynamic performance management. What I'm saying here then is we can check to see if thread creation queuing has occurred within DB2. If that's true, then we can also see if it's impacting CICS response times. So in this case, we're saying check to see if Omegamon Kicks has detected a delay in its response time due to database. If both of those are true, I can then in turn go ahead and issue commands to the console to make changes to ZParms and things like that, and then go ahead and make maybe a change on the fly so that DB2 will dynamically at least be able to keep running, and then I can then be alerted that this has happened and gives me some time to then go and first of all find out about the problem and then go back and fix it without having to manually do this correction, let the system do it, and then give me the time to go back and do the analysis at a later point. The next slide shows the command. So actually this is the pop-up where we see the system command. So we see the set sysparm load, zparm reload, and then you also see as well again in this pop-up the attributes. So again, you could put attribute variables into this as well and then issue the set sysparm command to the ZOS console. So again, this is a simple way to issue some commands to the console based on, in this case, correlated alert from both DB2 as well as CICS. Next slide shows, again, policies are distributed to the management server. So this shows where we're going to run the particular policy check. And same premise as before with policies. Now, continuing on, we have management as well as performance and availability. So we've talked about two of the three triangle corners up to this point. We've talked about availability. We've talked about database performance. Now automation can help in there. Now let's talk a little bit about management. Management is an important topic in database because with database, there's always ongoing things that have to happen. Utility functions, logging, things like that, that if these events don't occur, the databases at some point will cease to function. So making sure that these things are happening at the optimal time and are running on an ongoing basis is an important part of the ongoing management, if you will, of the databases, whether it's IMS, DB2, or whatever. So the next slide shows an example of just looking for things like utilities that are in a stop status. So here we're just checking here for any utility that's in a stop status, and if we detect one, we'll generate an alert. So this is a simple situation, looking for utilities in a stop status. The next screen shows a somewhat more sophisticated example because here what we're looking at is we're actually checking the setting for the DB2 log load setting. We're doing a prime time check, and then basically what this is doing is we're optionally going to make changes to the ZParm based upon, well, what time of day it is, what's our log load setting at, maybe make changes to DB2 ZParms based upon these types of requirements. So if you want to be able to do these kinds of dynamic changes based on time of day or other criteria, the automation there is available for you to do these kinds of checks and drive this within the tool. So here we see the next slide where we see the actual command, the set log, log load, setting the number. And so then this command actually then gets executed on the system console, on the ZOS console. And then you also see I have other commands that flow off of that as well, because one of the things I like to do is if I issue the command, I also like to have some type of an eye catcher message that will appear so that I know simply by looking at the ZOS log that this came from a Megamon. This is more of just a style thing as opposed to a requirement, but it does help readability later on if you're trying to understand what was driving what. Here's the message that I was mentioning just previously. So here we're using policies to automate log settings. So here we're actually setting the message. So here we see there's no magic to Omega 1 as the header. That's just simply a header I arbitrarily put on there. And here I'm basically just putting out a message check that says I've set the log setting, and I'm also putting in an ampersand variable value to show whatever the detail was that I was setting it from for what subsystem in this particular case here. We've looked at things like looking for utilities in the stop status. And so basically then that takes us to our summary. which basically says OmegaMon XE provides our GUI capabilities that integrates monitoring, alerting, automation capabilities. Any monitored attribute may be used in an alert, and that alert then in turn may be used to drive automation. That alert can be driving simple automation in the form of reflex automation from a situation, or can then turn drive automation that's much more sophisticated in the form of a policy. And that automation is directly integrated within the OmegaMon user interface, and the look and feel and flow is the same whether we're talking IMS monitoring, DB2 monitoring on Z, as well as DB2 or other distributed database monitoring running on open systems platforms. There's no Rex requirements, no other procedural code required. It's click and drag and go. So that's the beauty and the power of the automation capabilities. And so with that, I think that brings us to the end. At this point, I want to open it up for questions, and thank you to everyone in the audience for your time and your attention.
Thank you, Ed. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. And for our second question, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. Not technical enough? Press star 2. For our third question, do you have automation tools to manage your database environment? If no, press star 1. If yes, with IBM tools, press star 2. And if yes, with non-IBM tools, press star 3. Question number 4. Which database systems are you managing? If DB2 on ZOS, press star 1. If DB2 and IMS databases, press star 2. If IMS Transaction Manager and IMS databases, press star 3. And if all of the above, press star 4. And for our final question today, are you interested in receiving additional information regarding the product discussed today? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey for today. Thank you all for your participation. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please signal us by pressing star then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please release your mute function so that your signal can reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll move first to James Lohman.
Hi there. In today's presentation, you referred to another presentation by John Campbell, Health Check Your DB2 System. Is it possible to get the copy of the notes from that presentation?
Yeah, I would assume so. That was part of the DB2 Tech Conference. But if you drop me an email at woodse@us.ibm.com, I should be able to dig up that PDF file and forward it to you. I'd be happy to do that. Because he had a very all-inclusive list in there of messages and things to check for and other general kind of health check requirements for availability for DB2. So if you're looking at a way to kind of take that as an input to an availability automation strategy, I think that's a good presentation to look at.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
And again, that is star 1 for any questions or comments that you may have at this time. And Mr. Woods, it appears we have no further questions at this time. I'll turn the program back to you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everyone, for being here, and folks, have a lovely day.
That will conclude today's conference call. You may now all disconnect and have a pleasant day.